Greetings in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Glad to be here this morning to share in this special service, trusting that our time together will be a blessing and inspiration to each one. As a way of introduction, we just, our council service is history. The baptism is history as well, the three young souls. And communion is scheduled for this morning, and the question is, what shall we preach about? Imagine it's most every ordained man's dilemma, somewhere along the line, is to come to grips with what it should be. Even though this is a communion service, there's a lot of different things we could enlarge on. Went through my mind, should it be on the death and suffering and the grave, or victory and salvation? Maybe we can blend it together this morning. So I've entitled the message, Victory in Jesus. We know that, I thought it was in our book, but it's not. I heard an old story, and the Savior came from glory. We know that, don't we? I heard an old story, how the Savior came from glory. How he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood's atoning, and I repented of my sin and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming love. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. The only way to victory is get involved with the flood, with what was done at Calvary. More verses to that song, but I don't know them all by heart, so we'll just quit. This morning, as I think of a victory in Jesus, risen with Christ, there are two, I'd like to combine two different scriptures, Isaiah 53 and Colossians 3, both favorite scriptures of mine. Turn with me to Isaiah 53 to start with, and then we'll go to Colossians 3 as well. Blend that in somewhere. Isaiah 53 is a very detailed prophecy of Calvary. In fact, the life of Christ is highlighted in graphic detail about 500 years in advance of before it happened. What a prophecy. How could the religious leaders miss it when Jesus finally appeared? That's a question that often enters my mind. It's how could they miss this so drastically and crucify the Lord of glory? Well, that's all in God's plan. I believe it is true because it was for them as well as it is for us, for we walk by faith and not by sight. You know, if they had just exercised some faith, they would have been able to understand. And so I don't think we'll be able to do justice to both chapters, but we're just going to consider both of them as we go. And as you think of Colossians 3 as the chapter where it said, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. One of these scriptures that I recall is Dad talking about that in his First World War experiences in camp, as he is witnessing about his faith, And then the army captain said, "Who wrote it?" He said, "The Apostle Paul." "Are you sure?" He said, "Yes." And so, do we know for sure what it's about? And so, we have much to consider this morning. Let's look at Isaiah 53 first. "Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shears is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. New shall declare his generation, for he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. He made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed and shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his great knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors." This morning, as Brother Jesse was sharing in the devotional about those who had leprosy, it was not proper for them to be in a regular gathering of people because of the fear of this spreading. I imagine in today's world we are not very much acquainted with leprosy, even though it may be in the world around us. But we think of cancer. You know, did you hear so and so has cancer? Well, that's a bad word. That's a bad news as far as physically is concerned. And so much is at stake, or you don't know if they can get help for that. Well, in that day, they weren't able to until Jesus came, and he just said, "If you will, you can do it." And the faith and the man that did that came up and just, yeah, he said, "You can do it if you want to." And so Jesus said, "I will," because he had faith. How many lepers were not cleansed because they did not exercise that kind of faith? We don't know that. And so it is today. The leprosy of sin is still abounding on every hand. And we can be sure that God is able to rid that of every person if they would come to the cross of Christ and accept the gift of salvation and make Isaiah 53 verse 5 their personal verse, putting their own name into that. He was wounded for your name and for your transgressions. I'm glad for that this morning. As we think of communion today, it's a service where, well, it's kind of a mixture. You mix together the suffering and death, and also the deliverance from sin, and all that it entails. And we're glad for that. You know, we just hardly know how to deal with it the most proper way. But I trust this morning to think of we think of ourselves and our life of sin and the old story that we reached out and found salvation there. And to be resurrected with Christ is really an important part of our lives. The resurrection account of Jesus is as recorded in the Gospels has been a controversial issue from day one. In Matthew 28, if we would go there, we know there that they had the tomb guarded. They had people there taking care of it. But when the Lord came out of the tomb, there was no power on earth that could prevent him from staying inside and keep him inside. And so Matthew 28 relates how the very keepers or guards at the tomb were bribed into telling a false story, a lie, of what personally experienced when Jesus rose from the dead. We know that that didn't keep him inside, of course. However, John in Revelation 1, 4 and 8 and 7 and 18 records a scene that removes all doubt about the physical resurrection of Jesus from the grave. Most, if not all, of the New Testament writers call our attention to the fact of Jesus rising from the dead. It is a core source of power to the child of God in living the new life in Christ. No other religion can ever come close to the answer to the power of the new life in Christ. The power of the gospel frees us from sin, forgives all past offenses, and sets our feet upon a rock, Christ Jesus. Establish our going out and our coming in forever if we allow it to do its work. And so this is both a position that we have in Christ, and it's also by faith that we receive the atonement for our souls in the death and resurrection of Jesus our Lord. And we would just simply say hallelujah. We recall the fact when we were saved from our sins and made white in the blood of the Lamb. Let's turn over to Colossians 3 at this time. Keeping your thoughts or fingers in Isaiah 53. Colossians 3, verse 17 verses. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, and not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify or put to death, therefore, your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, covetousness, which is idolatry. For which thing's sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked some time when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and to put on the new man with the renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision or uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond or free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on, therefore, as elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness and longsuffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. We'll cease reading there. And I think of the victory in Jesus, I think of Colossians 3, that we are risen with Christ. It's an experience that we have from dead works to serve the living God. And I'm glad this morning that we have that. We have that that fact that we experience that individually as we give our hearts to Him. As I think of that, I think the only way possible that was if we claim the promises that we have in Isaiah 53, that He was wounded for our transgressions, He was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed. I'm glad this morning that this power is still available, strong as it ever was, and it will never cease or diminish in power as long as time exists. We don't have to worry whether God is able to save a person if they come in true faith believing. And we have experienced that in this. As we think of our communion this morning, it is for those who have experienced that at the cross of Calvary and in their lives and are living in victory. And for us to go and experience the blessings of a communion service. It's one of the things that it knew every time we enter into it. I don't know how many communions I've had part in or been responsible for, but you know, it never gets old. The story is always new. We may could do a better job in making it more applicable to the people so they understand it better, but you know, we are a people that need to be reminded again and again. And as we think of the broken body, the bread and the vine is a reminder of what Jesus did for us. There's many scenes that I'd like to have been along with Jesus, and that's one of them, is the time when He was in Gethsemane and going to the cross. I don't know where you'd have found me. I'd have probably been with the rest of the disciples that were hanging in the background. But you know, when I think of that very scene of Calvary and how the rulers and the people ganged up on Him and just bombarded Him with things that were not true. And while Pilate tried and tried and tried, I think at least three times he said, "I find no fault at all in this man." And yet he caved in to the pressure of having Him crucified so that you and I today can go free. So there is much to consider, and we think of these chapters, especially Isaiah 53. He was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And while that all happened, we hid our faces from Him. He was despised and we esteemed Him not. I'm glad this morning, though, for the God in His mercy doesn't hold us accountable, but He forgives all those who come to Him. It's only for those who repent in dust and ashes that are able to experience the real joy of communion and that what it represents. I was thinking of going to the account about the Day of Atonement. That's a very interesting study and time to reflect on, but time doesn't allow to cover it all anyway, so we'll just stay with this. When I think of Isaiah, that many years prior to the coming of Jesus Himself, and He prophetically said exactly how it's going to happen and how it still is effective today, makes me shudder when I think of it. It is the old story as the Savior came from glory. If we accept that, we can be saved as well. And that God was satisfied with the travail of His soul. As God looked down from high heaven and saw that commotion on Calvary's hill and in the judgment hall, it's a wonder that God didn't stop the world right then and just say, "That's enough of that," and just wipe that whole group of people off the face of the earth. But in his mercy, he did not. Because of that, many of those, I believe, actually were saved later on after the resurrection. Because he was long-suffering, and that he was there to bear the sins of many. And so this morning, as I think of our response to our service today, it is individually that we are responsible for and that we are accountable for, that we, as we reach out and consider ourselves, what have we done with Jesus? What have you done with him as you faced him? What are you doing with him as we face life today? Is he the byword that so many people use, or is he something a lot more than that? I love the verse where it says, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. Not one of us here today can claim innocency of that we have went astray and turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. So it was not just our sins, but it was the sins from Adam up until Calvary, and from Calvary on, as long as time exists, was hanging on Jesus on the cross of Calvary. No wonder that he buckled under the weight there, and the angel came and touched him and strengthened him so he could go on with and go through this ordeal to make the way of salvation possible. And that's what we're remembering today, salvation. Victory in him. Because he was faithful, we too can be faithful. Because he was ready to go all the way, we need to be ready to go all the way also. And I think of this, I think of many scenes in life, experiences in life that we have. You know, sometimes we reflect on those, and sometimes we hesitate to do that, but all the way to Calvary he went for me and for you. And now he sets me free. What if he hadn't? Well, we wouldn't have communion this morning. We wouldn't have nothing to preach about. We have nothing to look forward to. And none of the hymns that we think of the eternity future of faith and trust that we can, would we have confidence in, but rather we would be a lost in a dying world. And so I'm glad this morning that he made the way possible, and that he is certainly the Lord of glory that deserves all the honor we can render to him. This morning, as we think of what our part was in the cross of Calvary, did he see me? Did he see you at Calvary? I think he did, because he was God. And he could see this assembly this morning, that we were going to gather together and just remember what he's doing, what he did. It gave him the urge to go on. You know, like Hebrews says, the cloud of witnesses that are urging people on. I don't know what all is entailed with that, but I'm glad this morning that if we're risen with Christ, we seek things that are above, and where Christ sits on the right hand of God, we need to set our affection on things out of this world and not on this world here. We are dead and our life is hid with Christ in God. I'm glad for that. And then as we do that, we are able to put to death those temptations, those sins that so easily beset us, and that we might run with patience the race that is before us. This morning, as I think of my life and I think of Calvary, and it humbles us to think of that. There's a scene that comes to my mind over and over when I serve communion. It is the last communion I served Brother Chalmer Whittaker. You probably heard me say that many a time, but I need to say it again. He was a Second World War vet, and he was a saved person. As he came up the aisle, and right before he took the cup, he stood there with tears running down his face. And then finally he reached out and took it. That was the last communion we had together. Soon he was killed and ushered into eternity. No doubts in my mind that he is safe at home. But I can just see that sign. I stood there and waited, and finally he reached out. He did not feel worthy of that. Who does this morning? When you think of Calvary, you think of all that Jesus did for us. We have nothing to glory in at all, do we? And so as we reflect on our sins and our past and all that the Lord saved us from, it certainly ought to cause us to, in humbleness, say, Lord, just have mercy on me. Give me strength to be faithful to the end. We're not home yet. We're getting closer, but we're not there yet. You know, this may well be our last communion together. I don't know. But one thing is sure, that God is in control and that he wants us to be. Think, when we accept the bread and the cup, that we also remember that he's coming again. It's a reminder of the past, the present, and the future. And so as we reflect on that, it's a great blessing that we, an inspiration that we have, we receive from sharing in the service like this, to share together in the emblems of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, in a memorial service, the actual person is never present. He's been removed. And so this morning it's a memorial service. Jesus himself is not here in person, but he is here by the Spirit, and also these emblems are to remind us of the very fact that we think of Isaiah 53 when we reach out and take that bread and said, this is my, he must have been beat up. Couldn't identify him hardly. He was just black and blue and bleeding and so forth. For what? Not for himself, but for us. That makes it very personal. That causes us to put on, to mortify, and helps us to, gives us strength to live above the things of this time and sense. There was a writer that I ran across, this saying that he wrote, said like this: the greatest miracle that God can do today is to take an unholy man out of an unholy world and make that man holy, put him back into that unholy world, and keep him holy in it. Do you think God got a bargain when he got you? Not really. We're the ones that have the bargain. But the miracle that God can take us as sinners, clean us up, put us back into this old sinful world, and keep us holy, is something that is just about beyond our expectation. But it is true. It is. We need to do it by faith. It's not our own works. We let so many other things get in the way to ruin our relationships with each other. And that's what Colossians 3 said: forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in our hearts, to which also you are called, and be thankful. I'm glad this morning that there's many inspirations we receive from the scriptures and then from songs that we sing over and over, because of inspiration that people wrote down and words that are penned, that we might be inspired as we sing them today, as we think of the old story, how Jesus came from glory to save us from our sins. What would you do without Jesus? What would you do if there was no Lord? Well, you'd do like other people are doing in this world. That's why we have what we have. That's why we have all the chaos and the unruly, unsettled things in life. People that do not know the Lord Jesus, aren't acquainted with him. God is not in their, they don't have God in their focus at all. And therefore, they do not know how to relate. But as Christians, we need to hang our head in shame that we don't do better than what we do. God made everything possible so that we might live and have life and have it abundantly. This morning, and I think of that victory in Jesus, there is just nothing, no reason not to live in victory. If we but just give up ourselves and lay hold on life eternal that he has made possible for us. If we set our sights properly, that will help us to arrive properly at the proper place. You know, so often people fail because they don't keep things in view properly. And I believe this morning that God wants us to keep in view. That's what communion is about. As often as you do this, you do show the Lord's death until he come. And so it's a reminder that, yes, the Lord died, the Lord suffered, the Lord gave his life, the Lord paid the price so that we can have life and have it abundantly. This morning, and I think of that, it humbles my heart and mind to think of it, that not because we're worthy, but because he calls us his own children if we turn to him in faith, believing. I believe this morning that as we do this, that God will help us to move ahead and face the tomorrows. I don't know what lies ahead. I don't know what the temptations will be or what the journey is going to be like. It may not be very easy, but you know what? It's still the right way. And God is there to help us through. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And that it gives us a springboard to move ahead and face the facts of life tomorrow. Bless us as we are encouraged in that today. I think of the, turning back to Isaiah 53. We get a picture of God and the Lord Jesus himself. He said, he shall be satisfied when he sees the travail of his soul. You remember when Jesus entered into Gethsemane and had the three close disciples with him, and he said, you stay here and pray. And of course, they fell asleep on the job. And he went on a little further, and he battled with the fact that he had to take all this weight upon him. And as the angel came and strengthened him, then he was able to go ahead. It says, he shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. I believe that the travail of the Lord's soul was extremely great that night. Tis midnight on all his brow. That hymn is so special when I think of that. I think of when those who, even the disciple that was close to him didn't understand, which is John. He just didn't understand. And so it's a fact that he battled it alone, except through the Lord, through the Father's help himself. Yes, he was wounded for my transgressions. He was bruised for my iniquities. The chastisement of my peace was upon him, and with his stripes I am healed. As I reach out in faith and claim that, it's nothing that we can do. We can't buy it. We can't improve on it, but by faith, claim it. It's there for the taking. So this is to remind us this morning again of we have done this in the past, and he's going to be with us in the future. God bless us as we each one share in this service today. We want you to be blessed and encouraged. When the going gets tough, then the tough need to get going. And I think that's what we need to do as Christians. When the going gets difficult, then we just simply keep on trudging the path with Jesus as we think of our responsibility that we have because of what he did for us. So may the Lord bless us. I know this is a very abbreviated account of that, and it blesses my heart when I think of all that God did for me. All the way to Calvary, he went for me. The whole way. He didn't stop part ways, but he went all the way for me, for you, that we can have life and have it abundantly. Lord bless you.